This is a recording of the Dharma talk on mindfulness of difficult emotions and the process of using the acronym RAIN. So I want to begin by sharing a story about a guy who's psychologist had suggested that he attend a mindfulness retreat in order to sort of get in touch with his feelings and his emotions. So the guy goes to the retreat and he does all the exercises around exploring his emotions and going deep inside. And he comes back and he says to his therapist, he says, you know, I went on retreat, I did all these things and you said I'd feel better, but I don't. And the therapist said, oh, but it seems you do. You're feeling your pain better, your sadness better, your anger better. So we're going to follow up from our work on mindfulness of feelings and emotions and just take it one step further to help us navigate dealing with the more difficult emotions. And in doing that, we're going to be using a process called RAIN. And RAIN is an acronym that stands for recognize what's going on, allow the experience to be there just as it is without judgment. Investigate with interest, curiosity, and care. And finally, nurture, giving yourself some self-compassion around this perhaps difficult process you've just been through. And RAIN is really best used when we're stuck around difficult emotions, though it can be used anytime. Anytime when we're dealing with something that's a tangle. And it's interesting because it plays into what the Buddha called the two arrows. And the first arrow is the suffering that we're dealing with, the tough stuff. And the second arrow is the suffering caused by how we judge ourselves, taking it personally. Taking it personally that we didn't deal with something particularly well, that we're stuck, I'm bad, or rather I feel bad, so I am bad, something's wrong with me. You may feel that you're not good enough at that moment. Experience some shame, some disappointment. Personally, there are times when I experience what's called the imposter syndrome. How did I get here and why do I deserve what I have? And a lot of times it just comes down to, again, that feeling that we just aren't measuring up for one reason or another. And this reminds me of a cartoon that I saw a while back, and it showed a dog in a therapist's office. Nothing particularly strange about that. And the dog is walking around the office saying, you know, it's always good dog this and good dog that and never great dog. So many of us struggle with not feeling like we're living up to either our own or other people's standards. We're not living into our higher selves, right? That vision we have of who we can be if we are actually our better person. And this process of RAIN brings self-compassion to that equation, reassuring us that we will get through whatever is currently happening that we will be okay. And that this is basically just the human experience, even when it feels difficult. So let's walk through this, and we'll begin with recognize. And actually, recognize is a lot of what we've been leading up to in our practice, being present in the moment so that we can truly identify what's happening in our body. Because as we recall, that's where our feelings and emotions manifest themselves. And the more that we practice in our daily or periodic meditations, the more attuned our awareness muscle becomes, and something happens that triggers an emotional response. So something at work or at home or at Costco, we get angry, scared, sad, and we feel it physically in our stomach, our chest, our eyes, our hands. Many times, this sensation will be familiar to us when we start to check it out, because this isn't our first rodeo. This isn't the first time we've experienced this sensation. But sometimes we get stuck. The difficult emotion arises and we feel it, but we go right up into our thoughts and we get swept into the story of what's happening. You know, it's just so unfair of Jack to be on vacation when our client needs something so important right now. Or, you know, is my husband, partner, son, are they so incapable of actually telling me what they're feeling? Do I always have to read their mind to know why they're acting this way? What we really need here is to hit the pause button. So that's what allow is all about. But that beginning is using our curious investigation to go inside, or rather to recognize, to pay attention and recognize that we've seen this before. I kind of jumped ahead a little bit there because the investigation comes a little later. You know, there's a beautiful line from Viktor Frankl. He says, between the stimulus and the response, there's a space. And in that space is our power and our freedom. So the A in RAIN opens that space up. It says, I'm not going to do something. There's a willingness to be with right now, just this. It's just the beginning to open the door. We want to make space for what's happening. Allow doesn't mean that we're encouraging this to happen, that we like this difficult feeling, this experience, or how it feels, but rather that we acknowledge that it's happening and we've identified our primary emotion, let's say it's anger. But before we act on this anger, we agree to experience this moment as it is, without judgment, without getting stuck in a story that may or may not have any ounce of truth in it. And we're not pushing it away or trying to control it, because we can't. So before we react potentially in an unskillful way and do something we will regret, we need to let our limbic system, that fight, flight, or freeze process, we need to let it calm down. And how do we do that? Well, we bring our attention inward to that physical feeling that we're experiencing, and we investigate it with kindness and curiosity. Now, you might recall, I talked about the twin divas of the brain, right? The limbic system, the emotional part of the brain, and the prefrontal cortex, or the executive rational brain, but they don't share the stage. So hitting the pause button allows us to shift our attention. So if we're in that emotional state, which will frequently happen when we're dealing with something difficult, we need to hit that pause button, allowing our higher thinking to kick in. And you might ask we might ask ourselves here, what's happening? What needs my attention? The author and psychiatrist Dan Siegel has a model that he uses, and he uses his hand. And you might, as I'm talking, kind of do this along with me. So take your hand and hold it up like you're saying stop. And if you run your fingers along your wrist up into your palm, that's your spinal cord going into your brainstem. Okay. Then if you put your thumb across your palm, like you're beginning the Boy Scout symbol, that represents where your limbic system is. It would include the thalamus and the amygdala. Then take your fingers that are still currently up and fold them over your thumb. And then hold it like you're about to punch someone. Well, that's your brain. Your limbic system, the emotional center of the brain, is inside, and over top of it is the more evolved part of the brain, your prefrontal cortex. When your brain is fully integrated, and that's what we're after here, your executive brain, PFC, can down-regulate the emotional response. Right? It can put into practice, this is what we're doing here. This is going to be my response to this. And it can often be a much more skillful response than if instead you didn't hit the pause button. And let's say you just were tired, or just hit you at a bad moment, this difficult experience. And you put your fingers up in the air, flipping your lid. Well, this sort of evidence is that you can't get the rational brain in gear here. So that down regulation isn't going to happen. You're going to be caught in a cycle of suffering up into the story, perhaps reacting in ways that you regret. So part of the problem here is that these secondary emotions enter in, and if we don't hit the pause button, we can get down on ourselves for how we acted, or even feel, you know, we can get down on ourselves for even feeling the way we felt. We might feel some shame for feeling angry at someone, or might even, and I've felt this way, get angry at myself for having gotten angry. And this is where being one's own best friend comes in. Applying self-compassion. And it's the N here, it's nurture. And we need to reassure ourselves that having any of these difficult feelings doesn't make us a bad person. In fact, it simply makes us human. And I would urge you at this point to think about what you'd say to your best friend, or maybe a family member. You would try to lift them up. It's okay, buddy. Rather than making them feel bad about themselves. You know, only a jerk would feel that way. My guess is that you would help them realize that having a difficult emotion doesn't define them. And if it's your partner or your child or someone close, you might give them a hug. In rain, you want to bring to mind someone or some being, maybe a higher being, that gives you comfort. Some people use the image of a higher being, a universal power, Mother Earth, Jesus, the Buddha. Others like to bring up the image of a loved one. I personally use an image of my mother holding me as a child and listening to her say, "It's okay. It's okay. I love you." And it's this self-compassion that sends the message to the brain, I can deal with things like this, which makes you feel better prepared in the future for both the big and the small things. And sometimes the small things can spiral into the big things if we haven't gotten that under control. A question I'm often asked is, will this help you deal with trauma? And it's a difficult question to answer easily because it's much deeper and more complicated than we would ever deal with in an introductory class on mindfulness. But I would say this, that if in your practice of mindfulness, deeply troubling emotions arise, things that might be traced to traumatic events in your life, I would urge you to step back and maybe end your meditation at that point. Come back to it at a different time, but don't try to necessarily soldier through if that process is taking you into a very, very difficult, traumatic place for you. For very experienced meditators, rain has been shown to be useful, that, but not. I just would urge discretion there. So I would love to share a story right now that hopefully will evidence rain in action, but there's kind of a twist to it. This is my story, and I'm going to admit that I didn't begin to kick in the rain practice until some potential damage had already been done. So let me just share this with you. I was doing a training class in person. And this was about the fourth class that I'd been with this particular group, and we were dealing with some issues about how to be with people when they're struggling. And at one point, I said something that is, to me, a deep-held belief of mine. And that is that one of the most powerful and helpful things that you can do for someone when they're in the midst of a deep struggle and perhaps crying or perhaps being silent, is to say, what do you need from me? How can I best help you right now? I said, that's what I said. And to my surprise, someone in the class said, oh, I would never say that to someone. That's just the worst thing to say right now. They want you to answer the problem. And I sat there and I looked at this person, and this wave of difficult feelings just rose up in me, and I wasn't able to hit the pause button And what I was feeling, I can tell you in retrospect, was I was feeling disrespected. I'm teaching this class. I've been through this. I'm quote unquote the expert here. And I looked at this person and I said, well, your feelings are valid, but I'm going to just have to tell you, in this regard, I think you're wrong. Wow. I'm a professional trainer. That was just not acceptable. And I could sense at that moment, I was really ticked off. The fact that I said that demonstrated the extent of my anger to people who were counting on me. Here's the interesting twist. At that moment, after I said that, I hit the pause button. And I was able to think through very, very quickly, where do you go from here? How do you manage this? How do you do damage control? And I apologized to the class. And I actually just started laughing. And I said, you know, I just modeled the single worst example of how to deal with a difficult situation. And perhaps we can use that. We can talk about that. But, you know, I'm sorry about that. And I just have to say, it feels pretty uncharacteristic, but it just happened. Now, as it turned out, most of the people in the class, maybe everybody said, hey, it's okay. You were fine. I knew in my heart of heart I wasn't fine. But after I went through that process and was able to very quickly run through Wayne, recognize, again, a little late, that I had been in the midst of anger. And looking back, it came up through my stomach. My hands got clenched. I could feel a tightness in my chest and my shoulders started getting very tense. My jaw got tense. And again, I took a moment, understood it, allowed it, went in and said, this is what happens when you get out of control. I've seen that before. And in that investigation was when I was really calming down. And at the end, as I was laughing, I was saying to myself, well, you're human. You've been through this. And you will get through this. And if these people appreciate you, they will take your word and accept your apology and you'll move on. Again, we can use that process of rain in many different circumstances. But interestingly, even if it's at the stoplight when someone's in front of you and they could be turning on red and they're not, that's a time when you can kick it into gear and just look at what your reactions, what's happening to you, if you're starting to get angry at that person, and run through that process of rain and build that awareness muscle.